Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, Jello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. I was lucky enough to get a hold of Tom Wagner, who is goes by the nickname the Sportsman Quartet, over on the Jack Benny message boards. And he's one of the folks, probably, who knows more about the Sportsman Quartet than anyone else alive. And he was kind enough to share some words with us, so I'm going to read you what he wrote to me about the Sportsman Quartet, who, of course, were on last week's episode as their first episode as regulars on the Jack Benny Show. And they'll be on from now on the Jack Benny Show. But here's what he says about them. The Sportsmen were radio's number one quartet. At one point in 1943, they were on 14 different radio shows a week. They were hired by Jack Benny on the recommendation of Malin Merrick, who had worked with them recently in 1945-1946. They had made earlier appearances on the Benny Show, most notably as Jack's lawyers in the Frightwig murder mystery in 1942, and as the Tappamus jingle singers. The quartet, when they were hired as regulars in 1946, were Bill Days was the top tenor, Max Smith was the second tenor, Marty Spurtzel was the baritone, and Gurney Bell was the bass. When they went to meet Jack Benny for their interview, Jack asked them if they were willing to get a laugh, and they answered with a resounding yes. Initially, they were signed to a short-term contract several weeks at a time because no one knew how the commercials would go over with the audience. They had no idea they would be the tremendous success that they were. After they realized the commercials were successful, Jack signed them to an 8-year contract. Bill Days told me that being hired by Jack Benny and humming on his show for the first time was the highlight of his career. Being on the Benny Show took a hard-working quartet and made them famous. They felt the success they had in nightclubs, radio, TV, and movies were all due to Jack Benny, and they were loyal to him to the very end. I hope this helps, he says. I honestly don't have the time to go into more history right now. He says, if I had any questions, don't hesitate to ask him. And I like this last part. He says, I have researched them for 25 years and probably know more about them outside the members of their own family. Thank you, Tom. Very cool that you would write to me about this. And I hope you're all enjoying the appearances of the Sportsman Quartet on the Jack Benny Show. Now, without further ado, let's get a chance to listen to the Jack Benny Show. Oh, and I thought I'd mention, too, that I don't know if you folks have watched the Jack Benny shows that were on Antenna TV for the first time yesterday, but it was two wonderful episodes. One featuring Mary Livingston and Bob Crosby singing a duet together, and it's wonderful to see Mary sing. I thought that was a real thrill. And then the other episode, the Palm Springs episode, it was hilarious to see Mel Blanc and Jack and Rochester and the Maxwell all at the gas station as Mel Blanc played the gas station attendant and ended up selling Jack 10 gallons of gas, which is way more than Jack wanted, for a total of $2.80. I think I would be delighted to pay 28 cents a gallon for gas right now. Anyway, enjoy this episode. We'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
At 58, American.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, so round, so firm, so fully packed.
So free and easy on the draw.
LSMFT, LSMFT, LSMFT.
Right you are.
Yes, sir.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
Yes, it takes fine tobacco to make a fine cigarette. And year after year, at market after market, the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw. The Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, last Sunday, Jack Benny started his 15th year in radio. All week long, he's been receiving letters and telegrams of congratulation, and his friends in Hollywood have been constantly calling him. So now let's go out to Jack's home in Beverly Hills, where we find him talking on the phone.
Oh, it wasn't that good. What? Oh, Ingrid. You're so kind, and coming from you, it's a great compliment. You know, Ingrid, praise is the lifeblood of an actor, so thanks for the transfusion. Well, thanks so much for calling. It was so sweet of you. By the way, Ingrid, I hope I'm not being too presumptuous, but may I take you to lunch Thursday? I may? Oh, no, Ingrid, I won't forget. Goodbye. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Mark this down. Lunch Thursday with Ingrid Krausmeier. At 1 o'clock.
Is that Krausmeier, boss?
Yeah, she works at Republic. She's in charge of the saddles. Well, I certainly feel happy getting all these telephones. Oh, there it goes again. Oh, well, that's the price of fame. Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Benny. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Another one of my fans. You know, Rochester, I appreciate people calling me up and telling me how good I was, but it can get a little annoying.
You didn't have that trouble with the horn blows at midnight.
You can kid all you want, Rochester, but that picture will go down in history.
It sure will. That's the first thing Gromyko ever walked out on.
Well, Gromyko walked out on that picture because he doesn't understand English.
His interpreter was leading him.
All right.
And Molotov was right behind him.
Right. That's enough. I'm going into the library. Oh, darn it. Sometimes I wonder if it's worth all this. Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Benny. What? I mailed that yesterday. Oh, yeah? Well, you can't disconnect it while I'm talking on it. What? You're up on the pole now? Well, put away those snippers and get down from there. I told you I mailed it. How do you like that? Rochester, do you know there was a man up on the telephone pole?
You mean Sam?
Oh, you know him?
Sure, he goes up there first of every month.
Say, Rochester, what time is it?
It's about 10:45.
Good, the World Series will be on pretty soon. I want to hear it. I'll listen to it in the... Oh, there goes that phone again. You answer it, Rochester. Tell him I'm not at home.
Yes, sir. Hello? No, I'm sorry, but Mr. Benny's not at home. Who? Thank you. I'll tell him you called.
Who was it, Rochester?
It was Ingrid Bergman this time.
What? Give me that phone. Hello? Not you, and get down off that pole. Hello? Rochester, why didn't you call me?
You told me to say you were out.
Just wait till you get a call.
But, boss, okay. You told me to say it.
Never mind what I told you. You should know if I'll talk to Krausmeier, I'll talk to Bergen. I'm going into the other room and listen to the World Series.
Okay.
In Rochester, early this morning, I put in a long-distance call to New York, so plug the phone in the library.
Yes, sir.
Gee, I wonder if St. Louis will win the... Well, I'll know pretty soon. I'll answer it, Rochester. Take back your rumba, aye, your samba, aye, your conga, aye, aye, aye.
Hello, Jack.
Well, hello, Mary. Come on in. You're just in time. I'm going to listen to the World Series.
The World Series? Who's playing?
Boston against Ingrid Bergman. I mean Boston and St. Louis. Come on in the library.
Say, Jack, did you read the wonderful things the critics said about your opening program?
Well, no, Mary. After all, I've been on the air for 15 years, and I feel that when I have a show to do, I just go out and do the best I can, and I don't concern myself with what the critics say.
Then why have they got the reviews pasted on your glasses?
Those are the lineups for today's game. I want to have them handy. Well, the game ought to be on pretty soon.
Oh, Jack, before I forget it, I got a letter from Mama yesterday.
Your mother? Well, what did the truculent turtle of Plainfield have to say?
She mentioned your first broadcast, and she liked it very much.
She did? Your mother? That sweet little gray-haired old lady who fractured your father's skull like my phone?
Yeah, and she even took the bandages off so Papa could hear it.
Well, that was nice.
And Jack.
Yeah. What is it, Mary?
Oh, Mama was so cute. She said she was preparing dinner when she listened to the radio, and while your program was on, she peeled 4 pounds of onions.
Oh, fine. Listening to me and peeling onions.
Mama said she was laughing on the inside and crying on the outside.
Hey, that's pretty good. But you know, Mary, if your mother thought last week's show was something, wait till she hears the one we got for this week.
But, Jack, how do you get your scripts if your writers are still stranded on the gambling ship?
I sit on the beach and they wigwag them to me. The scripts are over there on the table, Mary. You better take a look at them.
Okay.
Just brush the sand off. Let's see, I wonder what station the World Series will be on. It should be around...
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack, I'm not going to do this gag here.
Where?
Right here on page 3. It's too corny.
Mary, that's a topical joke, and we have to do that kind of stuff.
I don't care if it is topical. I'm not going to say that you have to go out with a girl in Brooklyn because you can't dodge her.
Dodger, don't you get it, Mary? That the Brooklyn Dodger, that's a baseball joke.
Well, I'm not going to do it.
All right. If you don't want the gag, I'll give it to Dennis. He'll be very happy with it.
Dennis is happy if he looks in a mirror and he's there.
Look, Mary, I don't want to discuss it now. The game will be on pretty soon. I want to listen to it.
Okay. Say, wait a minute, Jack. What's that black crepe on your radio for?
Fred Allen comes back on the air today.
He does? What time?
We light the candles at 5:30. Well, we still got a few minutes before the game. Let's get some music anyway. Get the ball game. I wonder who's going to pitch for St. Louis.
Look on your glasses and see.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have Paulette scheduled, but then you never can tell. Oh, there goes the phone again. Mary, it's been like this all week long. Congratulations, compliments. I've never seen anything like it. Hello. Yes, it's Mr. Benny. Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Goodbye.
Who was it?
There'll be a 2-hour delay on my call to New York.
Well, don't let it go to your head. They say that to everybody.
Yes, but the way she said it, I knew she liked my program. Oh, Rochester, do me a favor, will you, please?
Yes, boss.
Pick up these scripts and put them in my briefcase. I don't want to forget them when I go to the studio.
Yes, sir, I'll put them right next to your Christmas card samples.
Good, good.
Say, Jack, when I was looking through the script before, I didn't see a commercial.
I know, Mary, and I don't know what to do about it. Don Wilson got me to hire that lousy quartet and put them under contract for 8 weeks at $500 a week. For $500, all they did was, Imagine 4 big jerks going, And 1 bigger jerk paying them.
Well, why don't you break their contract?
I don't know how.
Well, how did Warner Brothers do it to you?
They didn't break my contract. They just burned down my dressing room. I'll never forget the look on Jack Warner's face when he found out I wasn't in it at the time. And when do you think they... Oh, there's the phone again. Hello? Yes? Well, thank you. Thanks very much. And you also like me on Dennis Day's program? Well, that's awfully sweet. Goodbye.
Who is that?
Dennis. He's coming over here pretty soon. Well, it's almost time for the World Series. I might as well try and...
Hey, Jack, look out the window. Here comes Don Wilson with that quartet.
Oh, yes. I wonder what they want now. Come in!
Hello, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Don.
Say, Jack, look who I brought with me.
I know, I know. Hello, fellas. That's what I mean. Don, I'm glad you brought the quartet over. I want to talk to you about them.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? I'm not going to keep paying $500 a week just to hear them go, during a commercial.
Well, Jack, at the end of our show last week, when you kicked me in the stomach, I suspected you weren't quite satisfied.
You bet I wasn't satisfied. I'm not going to pay $500 for a quartet for one note. And another...
Now, Jack, calm down, calm down. I've got it all fixed up now. That's why I brought the boys over. Now, here's the way we're going to do our commercial today.
Look, Don, I don't want these
fellas... Just listen to this, Jack. Listen to it. Now, I'm sure you'll like
it. Yes, Jack, give them a chance.
All right, all right.
Now, here's the way we'll do it. Get set, boys. Here we go. L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
L-S-L-S-M-F-T, la-la-la-la-la, hee-hee-hee. L-S-L-S-M-F-T, la-la-la-la-la.
Go round.
Down, that's not what I want.
Go free and easy on the draw.
That's not what I want.
L-S-L-S-M-F-T, la-la-la-la-la, hee-hee-hee.
L-S-L-S-M-F-T, la-la-la-la-la. Fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Don.
So for real deep down smoking enjoyment, it's
L-S-L-S-M-F-T, la 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 la, hee hee hee. L-S-L-S-M-F-T, la 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 la, ay ay ay.
Wait a minute.
L-S-L-S-M-F-T.
Wait a minute.
Hee hee.
Wait a minute. Sake. I mean, what kind of a commercial do you call that? I mean, what's the matter with you guys? Look, Don, listen to me, will you please? Will you please listen to me?
Yes,
Don. No, just once. Look, Don. Can't you understand that isn't what I want? That's corny. $500. Well, I can get a better singers out of Ellis Island.
What island?
Ellis.
Ellis, Ellis.
Now, cut that out! And, Mary, you didn't have to trick me into that. Now, listen to me, Wilson. This is all your idea, not mine. And if you think for 1 minute that I'm going to... Hello? Yes? Thank you. Thanks very much. It was so nice of you to tell me. Goodbye. Now, Wilson, if you think for 1 minute that I'm
going... Who is that, Jack?
It's only an hour delay now. Don, if you think for 1 minute that I'm going to be stuck with this quartet, you're crazy. And to show you I mean what I say, I know how to break their contract.
Jack, put down those matches.
I can't help it, I'm mad.
Oh, boss, if you want to hear the World Series, it'll be on pretty soon.
Okay. Thanks, Rochester.
The World Series... Jack, do you mind if we stay and listen?
I guess not, Don. Now, let's see. I think the game comes over station. Hello?
That's the door buzzer.
Oh. Come in. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, everybody.
Look, Jack, Dennis brought his father with him.
Imagine him coming here in his old greasy overalls. How do you do, Mr. Day?
That's my mother. She just came from work.
Oh. How do you do, Mrs. Day?
How do you do?
Now, remember, Mother, you promised you wouldn't hit him.
Hit me?
Yeah, there's something about you that brings out the beast in her.
Now, Mrs. Day, I don't know what you have in mind, but I'd like to talk to you some other time. Right now, I want to listen
you
to
you listen to me first.
All right, and put down that wrench. Now, what is it?
Well, Mr. Benny, now that my Dennis is a star on his own show, you must uphold his dignity by giving him more lines, more songs, his own dressing room. And at all times, he must be treated with the utmost respect.
Yeah, utmost.
Now, look, Mrs. Day, now you listen to me. You can run Dennis's life if you want to, but you're not going to run mine.
Gee, Mr. Benny, my father wouldn't dare talk to her like that.
Your father. What a weakling he must be. Where'd your mother ever get him, anyway?
Eastern Columbia, Broadway at Night.
Gee, they have everything. Now, Mrs. Day, look, I don't want to talk any more about it, and that's settled.
All right, if that's the way you feel about it, come on, Dennis, we'll go home.
Dennis stays right here. I want to hear the song he's going to do on my program.
Very well, but I'm leaving. I'll wait for you outside, Dennis. Goodbye.
Gee, she's a character, isn't she?
I'll say she is. Now, go ahead, Dennis. I want to hear the song you're going to do.
Okay.
I have trouble with everybody.
You keep coming back like a song, a song that keeps saying, remember.
Very good, Dennis. By the way, you just recorded that number, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's swell. Now, we're going to listen to the World Series, kid. You want to stay?
No, I better run along. The character is waiting for me.
Okay. So long, kid.
Come on, Jack. The game must be starting about now.
All right. I'll turn it on. Now, let's see.
And now a message from our sponsor, the Happy Home Sweet Home Real Estate Company.
Friends, do you have a roof over your head, or have you been roughing it in a La Brea tar pit? Don't pay the exorbitant prices for houses that are being asked today by our competitors. Don't go out blindly and be hooked by just anyone. Come to us. Remember, we are your friends.
Jack.
Wait a minute, I want to hear this.
Listen to this week's special offer. For only $67,000, you can get a beautiful California Monterey-style Quonset hut.
Gee, they've gone down.
Jack, get the ball game.
Okay.
In a green caravan, there's a lady they call Dorothy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears.
No, John, don't leave me. I beg you. I implore you. Please, John, I love you. I love you.
See, this sounds interesting.
John, if you no longer care for me, think of the children. Think of William, Linda, Milton, Jeanette, Percy, Ellen, Hilda, Steve, Ken, Peggy, Harriet, Margaret, Richard, Dorothy, and little four-year-old Herbert, our eldest.
Herbert is only 4 years old.
Jack, the ball game.
Oh, I thought she was giving the lineup.
She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true.
Why can't I get her?
Think of it, ladies and gentlemen. A California Monterey-style Quonset hut for only...
I wish I knew what station that ball game is on. I don't know why I can't.
No. No, John, don't leave me. All day long, I do the housework. Not to mention the mending for William, Linda, Milton, Jeanette, Percy, Ellen, Hilda,
Steve. She thinks I'm going to wait for Herbert. She's crazy. I must find the ball game.
Bottles on there again, cause I want to believe the gypsy, the way she shakes her tambourine.
Oh, what's the matter? Can't seem to get it.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Phil. Phil, sit down a minute, will you? I'm trying to get the ball game. Hey, Phil, you haven't forgotten about our bet, have you?
Of course not.
How much did you bet, Jack?
Well, it wasn't money. You see, Phil has St. Louis, I have Boston, and the winner gets to kiss Betty Grable.
What about the loser?
He holds Harry James.
Yeah.
Well, if Jack wins, who's going to hold Betty Grable?
Don't be funny. Sit down, Phil. Maybe I can get the game now.
No, I'm sorry, Jackson, but I can't stay. You see, I just dropped in to invite you to a little stag party we're giving for Frankie, my guitar player. He's getting married.
Frankie's getting married?
Sure.
Well, who's he marrying, Phil?
Well, that little girl who plays the harp in my band.
Gee, imagine Frankie getting married. I didn't even know they were serious. I know he went out with her once.
Well, that's what did it. When he brought her home, her father was standing on the front porch with a clarinet, and Frank thought it was a shotgun.
Well, that's a logical mistake. Don't rush off, Phil. Sit down and listen to the game.
Sorry, Jackson, I gotta run along. I'll see you at the party.
Okay, but I'll get there a little late. I'm on Charlie McCarthy's program today.
Okay, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Phil.
So long, Phil. Give my regards to Alice.
Alice, M.F.T.
What are you talking to you? Now be quiet and we'll hear the game.
Heaven's sake. If you buy one of our lovely homes for $67,000, you'll have room for the whole family, including William, Linda, Milton, Jeanette, Percy, Ellen, Hilda, Stephen.
Oh, John. John, what's come over you? You've changed so. You were never like this until we moved into this California Monterey-style Quonset hut.
There's something wrong with this radio. Hey, what's that?
An
here we are in the third inning of this very crucial first World Series game.
That's it. That's it. I got it.
A hush falls over the crowd. The count is 2-3, and here comes the pitch. It's a long drive out to left field. Williams is going back. He can't get it. It's a hit, and Greenberg's on third.
Greenberg? That was last year's game.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Greenberg's on third. The bases are now loaded, and coming up to bat is the Gypsy.
The Gypsy?
In a green hat.
Oh, this is all mixed up. I believe I'll read about it in the paper. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say a few words about the USO fundraising drive for 1947. The war is not yet over for 200,000 veterans still in our hospitals, to say nothing of the men sweating out their discharges, the troops overseas, the teenage soldiers away from home for the first time. The USO has served them well, and it has been a big responsibility, and it will be ahead for next year. Let's continue to support our veterans by giving generously to the USO through your community chest or your local USO campaign. Thank you.
Jack will be back in just a moment, but first, here is my good friend, F.E. Boone.
At 58, American.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. Independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen really know tobacco. For example, Mr. Herbert T. Highsmith, independent tobacco buyer of Robertsonville, North Carolina, has bought and sold tobacco for 15 years, he said.
Season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy quality tobacco, fine tobacco with real flavor, smooth, ripe, and mild. So for myself, I pick Lucky's. I've smoked them for 15 years.
Quote, season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy quality tobacco, unquote. Yes, year after year, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Highsmith can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The famous tobacco auctioneers are on tonight's programmer, Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
That's 68, American.
I'm Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina.
American.
Basil Risedale speaking for Lucky Strike, the cigarette that means fine tobacco.
Hello? Oh, my New York call? Yes, yes, I'm ready. Hello? Hello? Yes, this is Jack Benny. Well, what about my offer? No, 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 I can't do it. I can't do it. $50 is all I... All right, $60. Okay, it's a deal. Goodbye.
Jack, who is that?
I just bought the Brooklyn Dodgers.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. This is the second episode of the 1936-1937 season. The season that has all the crazy changes we've talked about between adding Phil Harris and adding Andy Devine and Rochester and bringing in the Buck Benny skits. But tonight is, of course, an adaptation of a movie. And early on, and throughout the radio show, really, Jack's troupe did a lot of movie adaptions that were always fun. I've grown to enjoy them more and more. He spoofed everything from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Pinocchio to Algiers and Casablanca and Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Just a couple weeks ago, we, of course, had one of his later movie adaptions, which was Horatio Hornblower. And man, that was a fun episode. If you haven't listened to that from the 1951-52 season, the second episode of the season, that was just a fun episode, and had Phil Harris in the whole thing, which you don't get a lot of in the later episodes. So it was just neat hearing Phil throughout, and including the in this Treasure of the Sierra, not Treasure of the Sierra Madre, in the Horatio Hornblower skit, too. Tonight, everybody will have a lot of fun. This is the adaption tonight. Goes over the course of two episodes, and a lot of times these movie adaptions, they do two episodes on. I'm not sure exactly why. It always seems like they have trouble fitting it into one episode. But I'm not sure. And I don't know if the studios paid, you know, Jack some money to do this, if Jack's team had to pay for these adaptions, if they're... I assume they're just good all the way around. They're popular, so it lets folks listen to some of the show a little bit. The movie that's coming out, and also it promotes the movie and helps Jack's ratings, I suppose. I don't know. But an interesting idea that certainly really caught on in Jack's show, and still is happening today with talk shows, late night talk shows, and Saturday Night Live spoofing a lot of movies and things. So anyway, enjoy tonight's show, and we'll see you next time for some more Jack Benny.
J-E-L-L.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Tain't No Use. Here's something that's most unusual, the sort of thing that doesn't happen often. Back in 1919, Jell-O received a fine letter of praise from Mrs. Ray T. Thorne of New York City. And now, 17 years later, we hear from Mrs. Thorne again. She's a real friend of Jell-O. Just listen to what she says. Some 17 years ago, I wrote to you telling how much our family enjoyed Jell-O and how Tommy, then 7, had rushed to the kitchen and scrawled Jell-O on the order list. I thought you might be interested to know that we still use only Jell-O, and that the Tommy of my first letter is now a naval aviator, but still a Jell-O fan. While he was playing football in college, he came home from practice every day to raid the icebox. If he found no Jell-O, a whale of huge proportions went up. One night when I had the entire squad for dinner, Tom asked me to serve Jell-O, and the training coach heartily approved. So I want to thank you for giving me, during 30 years of housekeeping, a simple, wholesome, delightful gelatin dessert. No other compares with Jell-O. That's fine, Mrs. Thorne. Your letter means a lot to us. Many, many thanks for sending it. There aren't many products that can boast such loyalty as yours. And here's wishing you and your aviator son all the luck in the world. And now we bring to you the man who returned to the air last Sunday with a deluge of merriment, a gale of laughter, and a worried look, Jack Benny.
Well, me worried. Well, hello again, folks. This is Jack Benny, who wasn't a bit more nervous last Sunday than he is right now.
Oh, no?
No.
Why, it was the first time that I ever saw you so jittery.
An old trooper like you.
Well, after all, Don, it was our opening program.
Well, that was nothing to get excited about. You know, I wasn't nervous.
No, not much. You were stammering so much before you got through, Jell-O had 12 delicious flavors.
Well, that's twice as good as ever before.
Yes, and twice as stammery for me there, yes. Well, I can't argue with you there, but Don, seriously, did you hear any reports on last week's program? You know, any comments?
Well, no, Jack, but I happen to have a few clippings with me. Here's one from the San Francisco Examiner.
Oh, the Examiner. Let's see it. Sunday radio reviews. A Manhattan merry-go-round, very good. Phil Baker, excellent. Eddie Cantor, great. Jack Benny, 8:30 to 9. Well, that's quite a notice, isn't it?
You did all right.
Not a rave, but at least it isn't a panning. Any other glowing reports, Don?
Oh, yes. Here's one from a local paper, Jack. Read it.
With a big headline, no less. Well, Jack Benny's first program goes over with a thud. You must have thought it was our thud program. It was our fuss.
Well, what else does it say, Jack?
Oh, it says, all in all, Benny's humor showed the most complete display of brass that this critic ever heard. Brass, he must be talking about the band. I'll have to speak to Phil Harris about that.
Did you call me, Jack?
No, Phil. I was just talking to Don about our fuss program. have you heard any reports on it?
Nothing to speak of.
I see. But say, Phil, I did hear some awfully nice things about you.
Thanks, Jack. I hear some awfully things about you, too.
Hey, read that right, will you?
Oh, pardon me. I mean, I heard some awfully nice things about you.
He's just a little excited, folks. But you know, Phil, you were a little nervous last week, too. You were shaking, so I don't see how you ever managed to lead your orchestra.
Oh, it was easy, Jack. I just grabbed my baton real tight, and my nerves did the rest.
Oh. Well, you deserve a lot of credit, huh? Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
Oh, thank you. Gee, this has been going on all day, folks. Oh, Don, listen to this one. Heard your program last Sunday night and can appreciate how you feel.
Well, who's that from, Jack?
The New York Giants.
Oh.
Well, it was nice of them to remember me. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Gee, you look so tan and ragged.
Mary, you did that joke last week.
Well, you still look ragged.
Oh. Say, you're starting out pretty good tonight, but last Sunday you were plenty nervous.
Who, me?
Yes, you. Why, the script in your hand was shaking like a leaf.
It was not. I was waving to my mother in the third row.
Oh, your mother, huh? Well, your mother was in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Oh, then I must have been nervous.
Yeah. Well, Mary, did you hear any... we're laughing more than the audience tonight. Mary, did you hear any comment on our show?
No, Jack, but I got the loveliest telegram from a couple of sailors. Imagine.
Sailors? Oh, Navy boys.
Uh-huh. Listen to this. Heard you on Jack Benny's broadcast last Sunday night and thought you were wonderful. Signed, Seaman Seaman.
Seaman? That's Simone. Simone. Simone.
Oh, they were seasick.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, Jack.
Oh, hello, Kenny. Say, you're here alone tonight. Where's your girl?
Which one?
Oh, you know, the one who wanted a lock of my hair last Sunday.
Oh, the dopey one.
Yeah. Well, what do you want, Kenny?
Oh, a wire just came through you. Here, I opened it by mistake.
That's fine. What do you mean you opened it by mistake?
He thought he could read.
Oh. Well, give me that wire, Kenny, and after this, be careful.
Gee, he's dumber than last year.
He is not.
I am, too.
All right. Oh, hey, fellas. Get this wire. Oh, boy. Get this. It says, felicitations on your debut last Sunday, repercussions of which are still reverberating. Cease. Your nonchalance and savoir-faire dominated the festivities throughout. Cease. Accept my sincere approbation.
Who's that from, Jack?
Freddie Bartholomew. Wasn't that sweet? Well, somebody likes to play, Phil. Oh, yeah. That was Sing, 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 played by Phil Harris and his orchestra. And very good.
Thanks.
Well, we went Simone one better there, I think. But, Phil, I notice you're still a little nervous.
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, I invited two of my girlfriends up to see the broadcast. And they're sitting in the front row, and, well, naturally, I'm a little self-conscious.
Oh, well, I know how you feel. You see, I had some girls up to the broadcast tonight myself. I invited Claudette Colbert, Joan Bennett, and Carol Lombard.
Yes, I noticed those three vacant seats.
Well, you know how heavy traffic is today. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as we announced last Sunday, this evening we are going to offer our condensed best pocket edition of that famous classic, Anthony Adverse, written by Hervey Allen, produced by the Warner Brothers, directed by Mervyn LeRoy...
And shoes by I. Miller.
Yeah, quiet. We begin our play with Anthony at the age of 10. Since I'm just a boy at heart, I will play the part of Anthony the youth. Anthony. Also, the man as played by Frederick March. Mary Livingston will be Angela, my childhood sweetheart. Kenny Baker will be my servant when I get to Africa. Oh, Kenny?
Yes, Jack?
Here's your accent.
Yeah, the ball's showing up.
Very good, Amos. Owing to the unusual length of our play, we will start it immediately after the next number, which will be sung by Kenny Baker. Meanwhile, I'll try and get young for my part.
Gee, I hope you get Robert Young.
Quiet. Sing, Kenny. Gee, I wonder where I put my rompers.
The night was filled with sweet surrender. I had a million things to say. We shared the moon in all its splendor. You pressed your lips to mine, and by the way, I adore you, and I am living for you alone. Did I remember to say I'm lost without you, and just how mad about you I've grown? You were in my arms, and that was all I knew. We were alone, we two. What did I say to you? Did I remember to tell you I adore you and pray forevermore? You are mine.
Thank you, sir. That was Kenny Baker singing Did I Remember from the motion picture Susie. And now for our play, Anthony Adverse. The locale is Leghorn, Italy, in the year 1773. The scene opens in the shipping firm of John Bonifeather, known as the Casa di Bonifeather. You see, in those days, everybody had a casa.
Are you going to have a casa, Jack?
Yes.
Jackassa.
All right, let's get into the mood. Italy, 1773. Anthony Adverse. Curtain, lights, music.
Hello,
Hello? Cassidy Bonnyfeather. Yes, Mr. Bonnyfeather is in, but you can't talk to him. The telephone hasn't been invented yet, dope. Call back in 100 years. What's that? Oh, wait a minute. Come in.
Hello.
Hello, little boy.
What you doing?
I'm answering a telephone that hasn't been invented yet.
Why?
I don't know. I must be nuts. What can I do for you, little boy?
I'm looking for work. I'd like to get a job here.
Sorry, we're not hiring any sopranos.
I'm not a soprano. I'm a poor little orphan.
An orphan, eh? What's your name?
Anthony.
Oh, little orphan Anthony. Have you ever worked before?
Oh, orphanon. Am I killing me?
Oh, here comes Mr. Bonnyfeather. He's a nice old Scotchman, and you can talk to him.
Oh, thank you.
Ah, good morning, Les. Good morning, laddie. Good morning. Shut off that motor. Who are you, laddie, and what brings you here?
I'm Anthony, sir, 10 years old and looking for work.
Work?
Yes, don't tell me that hasn't been invented yet.
Well, you look like a bright lad. Anthony, what is your last name?
I haven't any, sir.
Well, laddie, I'll get you a name. Aye, and a job, too.
I've got an eye.
I know. I'll put you to work in the accounting department. Anthony, do you know arithmetic?
Oh, sure. I can count up to 10. Up to 20 with my shoes off.
Very well. I'll try you out. First in subtraction.
Okie dokie.
Now, Anthony, what is 2 from 12?
1.
What is 3 from 12?
1.
What is 4 from 12?
1. I'm stubborn, ain't I?
You certainly are. All right. What is 2 from 3?
12.
Terrible.
Well, I may subtract terrible, Mr. Bonnyfeather, but I add birth.
Adverse. That's it. That's what we'll call you. Anthony Adverse.
Anthony Adverse.
Anthony Adverse.
Now and forever. Anthony, I see a great future in store for you. You will travel to strange places and see strange lands. Your life will be full of adventure.
Gee, I can hardly wait.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, etc.
Who is that?
That's little Angela, the cook's daughter. Come here, my child. I want you to meet someone. This is Anthony.
Hello, Angela.
Hello. How old are you, Anthony?
10.
So am I. Gee, you're cute. And you've got the nicest gray hair.
Say, I got plenty of worries, believe me.
Well, children, I have work to do, so just run around and play.
See that, Mr. Bonnyfeather's awfully nice. He's a Scotchman, isn't he?
If he isn't, he's wasting a lot of ours.
And speaking of Scotchman, you will find the Jell-O, too, is economical. With its 6 delicious flavors, strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
I'm sorry Wilson was invented. Oh, Angela, you're so beautiful and so sweet. Will you marry me?
Why, Anthony, we're only 10 years old.
Well, I'll fix that. Time marches on.
10 years later.
Angela, will you marry me? Will you, Angela?
Yes.
You ought to have your voice lifted.
I'm sorry. I got a bad cold.
But I'm all right now.
Oh. Then you will accept me, Angela.
Yes.
There I go again.
Angela, I'm so happy. Come, sweetheart. We'll be married at once.
Anthony.
Angela. Oh, Angela, at last you are mine, and we will never be separated. Never.
Oh, Anthony, Anthony.
What is it, Mr. Bonnyfeather?
You must leave here immediately. I'm sending you on a special mission to Havana to collect some money that is owed to me.
Havana?
Aye, lad. You must contact Carlos Cebo, a wealthy Cuban. He's a slippery customer, but I want my money.
What does he do?
He runs a sugar plantation.
Good. I'll try and get a lump sum. Angela, be brave. I must leave you at once.
All right.
Ah, poor Angela. What will you do all the time I'm away?
Oh, I'll get along.
That's what I'm afraid of. Now, goodbye, darling. I'll see you in 5 or 10 years.
Goodbye, lover.
Goodbye, Mr. Bonnyfeather.
Goodbye, Anthony. Don't forget that lump sum.
I won't. Will you miss me, Angela?
Yes. Gee, I'll be lump sum.
Well, goodbye, goodbye. I'm off to Cuba.
Cuba, that's where he's going. Cuba, that's where he'll stay. Cuba, where wine is flowing.
Anthony Adverse is now on his way to Cuba and will arrive there immediately after the next number. Play, Phil. Years have elapsed, and we find Anthony Adverse arriving in Cuba. His boat has just docked mid scenes of Cuban revelry.
Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye, Mr. Adverse.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, gangway. I'm looking for Mr. Adverse. Ah, Mr. Adverse?
Yes, are you Carlos Cebo, the Cuban?
Am I a Cuban, he's asking. Welcome to Havana, my friend. Como está, senor?
Estoy muy bien, gracias, amigo mío.
Ha, 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 you said it.
Do you know why I'm here?
Sure, Mr. Bonnyfeather wrote me, so I want you should be my guest.
Thank you.
I want your stay in Cuba should be our pleasure. Don't be afraid to ask for anything. Everything I got is yours.
What have you got?
Nothing.
I see. Now listen, Carlos. You owe Mr. Bonnyfeather a lot of money, and I'm here to collect it.
Take it easy, Anthony. Stay here with me. We'll go out to make bookie.
Listen, I don't do that kind
of stuff. Come on, come on. Now first you'll have to get some new clothes.
New clothes? Why?
I'm a tailor.
Now listen, Carlos. Let's settle this debt right now so I can get back to my wife.
Five down, poopsie. First, let's have something to eat. I prepared a special breakfast yesterday.
It must be cold by now.
Don't worry, it's heading.
Now, quit stalling. I can't go back to Mr. Bonnyfeather without that money.
Well, money I ain't got. But if you would like to take a trip to Africa, I got there a piece of property that's A1. It's a rubber plantation.
Oh, so you're in the rubber business, eh? I thought you were a tailor.
That's me, Robert Taylor.
And you say if I go to Africa, that plantation will belong to me?
Take it, my friend. That's yours.
All right, I'll go. Adios, Carlos. Adios.
Who needs it?
I'm off to Africa.
Africa, that's where he's going. Africa, that's where he'll stay. Africa, where wine is flowing.
10 years later, and we find Anthony in darkest Africa, where he has become the owner of a rubber plantation in the jungle. He is plagued with fever, drunk with power, and mad with greed. Africa! Anthony Adverse!
Stop
that infernal noise! Come on, you slaves, get busy there. Cut that rubber, haul that barge, tote that bale. This heat is enough to drive you out of your senses.
Hey, boss.
Yeah, what do you want?
Uba, gooba, glooba, gluno, guno, sow.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you do something about it?
I don't know what it means, that's why.
I want a drink. Where's my man Friday? Friday.
What's that, boss?
Are you my man Friday?
No, sir. I'm your chocolate sundae.
Well, give me a drink. I'm getting drunk with power.
Oh, Mr. Adverse, why don't you give up this life and go back to your own people? Ain't you got no heart?
No, I ain't got no heart. I ain't got no conscience. I ain't got no soul.
Have you got a match?
Oh, this sun, this heat, this infernal jungle. Quiet! Quiet, quiet, you slave. Ouch, that whip is always getting caught in my leg. But I can take it.
What's the matter with the balls, man?
He must be delirious. Better bring him some water.
That's what I want. Water. Water. Everything is going black.
Look, he's fainted.
Two from 12 is one. Three from 12 is one. Four from 12 is one. Gee, I'm still stubborn.
Anthony Adverse. That's what we'll call him. Anthony Adverse.
Anthony, Anthony.
Ha-ha, welcome, my friend, to Havana.
How did he get here? Oh, this jungle, this heat. I can't think. I can't eat. I can't sleep.
You can't act either.
Angela, my wife, what are you doing here?
Don't bother. It's just a dream.
Oh, yeah? Wait a minute. What about that man in your arms? Is he a dream, too?
Is he? Wow!
Angela! 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 I want to go home! I want to go back to Italy! Back to Angela, my wife!
For the big news, the grand and glorious good news. Now you can make luscious homemade chocolate pudding more easily and more economically than ever before, and all because of Jell-O chocolate pudding. It's a brand new product and one you'll welcome with open arms. For Jell-O chocolate pudding gives you smoother, creamier puddings, more chocolatey and more delicious than any you've tasted since your grandmother used to make them. This is how you make yours. Just mix the contents of one package of Jell-O chocolate pudding with some milk in the top of your double boiler. Then let it cook until it becomes smooth and thick. After the mixture's cooled, serve it in sherbet glasses and watch the faces of your family light up the minute they taste it. Real old-fashioned chocolate pudding made with very little trouble and very little expense. Jell-O chocolate pudding sells for the same low price as Jell-O, and one package makes six servings. Ask your grocer for Jell-O chocolate pudding in the morning. And if he hasn't put it in stock yet, make sure he orders it for you.
The last number of the second program in the new Jell-O series, and I hope you'll all be listening in next Sunday night when we offer our second episode of Anthony Adverse. The part of John Bonnyfeather was played by Charles Irwin, and Carlos Sebo, the Cuban, was played by Patsy Flick through the courtesy of Warner Brothers. Oh, Jack, don't you want to say something? Good night, folks.
The Jell-O program.
Program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston was a Red Network presentation of the NBC studios in Hollywood. The tune When I'm With You is from the score of the picture Poor Little Rich Girl. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the first episode of A Day in the Life of Dennis Day, Dennis Day's own radio show. What I thought I'd talk about today is just how different this is than Phil's show. I got to be honest with you. I think Phil's show works a little better than Dennis's, and I'll tell you why. Dennis's show obviously must have been fairly good in that Dennis's show lasted from 1946 until 1950, and then he went off into television, basically. So it did have, I think, even maybe went to 51, actually, now that I think about it. But the problem here is with Phil's show, Phil is playing essentially himself. He's playing the band leader from the Jack Benny show, and this is sort of supposedly what happens in Phil's private life with his wife and children and, of course, his guitar player, Frank Remley, which works really well in that you can have Jack Benny appear on the show. You can refer to the Jack Benny show, give people a common point of reference for your series, and it works brilliantly well. And, of course, Phil's show ran from 1946 until 1954. Now, in Dennis's show, they decided to go with Dennis being still called Dennis and the show being the Dennis Day show, but he's not the Dennis Day. He doesn't have a job with Jack Benny. He has he's a different Dennis Day in a different reality. So this is about his life. But of course, whenever if they ever feature Jack Benny on the show, he's not going to know Jack Benny, and Jack's not going to know him. So it makes it kind of strange. I think folks would have got into it more if they would have played it like they did with Phil, where it's Dennis Day, and this is, because they had so much to play with. You've got Dennis Day, who's underpaid, supposedly on the Jack Benny show with his $35 a week. They could easily play it up with Dennis and Dennis's mom that they'd already established. Verna Felton could have came on and played his mom on the series. And you could have had Dennis going from job to job trying to earn extra money because he doesn't make enough money from Jack's show. You could have had Jack featured more often with Dennis trying to do different jobs for Jack and so forth to get extra pay. I think there would have just been a lot more range to the show and a lot more material to pursue if he would have still been the same Dennis Day that we know of. And you could have guest appearances then by, it would make sense to have, him run into Bob Hope or him run into various other famous folks from Hollywood, and he would, of course, know them and be trying to maybe get a job on their various shows to earn extra money and so forth. I think it could have been a very strong show, and he could have been pursuing different girls to try and have dates and so forth, and even famous starlets and so forth that you could have featured on the Dennis Day show. So I guess I would think it would have had a grander scope than it did. But having said all that, Dennis Day show is still a lot of fun. And here we have the very first episode, the first pilot episode. And when we catch up to the first shows, I don't think any shows exist until about November. And then we will play those for you as well. So enjoy the Dennis Day show. Hello, podcast listeners. This is Buck Benny again, and welcome to the very first episode of our Saturdays with Dennis Day. Dennis Day had a radio program that eventually turned into a television program, and it was called A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. It's a pretty funny program. I hope you enjoy it. This first episode is going to focus on the racy book that's called Forever Amber. And Forever Amber showed up in a lot of radio shows over the course of throughout the 40s. This show probably focuses on it more than any I can think of. And you even get to have some cross-dressing going on this episode. So a little racy for the time, I would think. I hope you enjoy the episode. And I'll be back next week with some more Dennis Day. And I'll be back, of course, tomorrow with our episode of The Jack Benny Show. This week is featuring Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, a very famous episode. And we'll be back Monday with Mel Blanc. So I hope you enjoy these episodes. Have a great weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the new Dennis Day program with Sharon Douglas, Verna Felton, Dink Trout, John Brown, Joe Kearns, Lee Benadarit, Jerry Hausner, Charles Stant and the orchestra, and starring the popular young singer of the Jack Benny Show in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. And now here's Dennis singing, Take Care.
Take care when you say take care, oh. Your lips may impart sweeter things than your heart means to say. Take care when you say take care, oh. Don't whisper tonight words that fade in the light of the day. Who knows if the spell we're under will still be as strong when the moon is no longer there. A heart that's waited a moment such as this may be betrayed by the madness of a kiss. When you say take care, oh, take care. In a moment such as this may be betrayed by the madness of a kiss. When you say, take care, oh, take care.
Yes, that was the beautiful voice of Dennis Day. But exactly what sort of person is our hero? Well, suppose we ask some of the folks of Weaverville, where Dennis lives and works. They know him best. For example, there's his boss, Mr. Willoughby, who owns the drugstore where Dennis jerks sodas. Mr. Willoughby, how do you feel about Dennis?
Dennis Day? Well, when I first met Dennis and hired him to work behind my fountain, I wasn't sure whether he was a soda jerk or not. But I knew he was some kind.
Yeah. Now, how about a few words from Mildred, Dennis's girlfriend?
I think Dennis is a perfect love. It's just that no one understands him. People in this town judge other people by how much money they have or how many brains. Either way, it's very unfair to Dennis.
All right, suppose we hear from Mildred's mother now, Mrs. Anderson, who runs the boarding house in which Dennis lives.
Dennis Day will never amount to anything. He has no ambition, no gumption, and very little sense. My daughter thinks she's in love with him, but it's only because he reminds her of her father.
Well, Mr. Anderson, what do you say to that?
Any opinions expressed by me on any subject whatsoever are necessarily those of my wife.
Well, how about a fellow boarder at the Anderson Menage? Mr. Snedeker, how do you feel about Dennis Day?
Don't mention Dennis Day's name to me. I ought to tear him limb from limb. Wants to borrow my car, he says, so he can drive his girlfriend Mildred over to pick up her costume for the masquerade party tonight. Why did I give it to him? Because I'm a big, fat, good-natured slob, that's why. And what happens? What happens to my car? I'll tell you what happens.
Oh, Dennis!
Did you see that? That parked car ran right into me. Golly, it's going to cost me $25 for Mr. Snedeker's fender, Mildred. Where am I going to get $25?
Well, haven't you saved any money out of your salary at the drugstore?
I've only had the job 2 days. Anyhow, with taxes what they are, I couldn't possibly save more than $6 a week.
Well, how much is your salary?
$6 a week.
Well, we've just got to think of something. If Mr. Snedeker tells Mama, she's liable to throw you out of her boarding house. And I don't know where you'd get another room with this housing shortage.
Gee, I'd hate to lose that comfortable room I share with Mr. Appling, Mr. Moore, Mr. Ryan, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Greenberg, Mr. Erickson, Mr. Kerrigan, Mr. Calfleisch, and the Cooper brothers. Especially this week when it's my turn to sleep in the bed.
Well, we just got to raise the money somehow. Mr. Snedeker said if he didn't get his $25, he'd murder you.
Oh, yeah? I'd just like to see him try it, that's all.
What would you do?
What could I do? I'd be dead. But the police would do plenty.
Dennis, if you don't mind, I'd rather he got his money. Oh, if I could only win the prize at the masquerade tonight.
Huh?
You know, the silver cup for the most outstanding costume. Oh, we could get $25 for it easily.
Well, gosh, maybe you will win, Mildred.
Oh, I haven't a chance. Mama picked out a perfect stinker of a costume for me. Betsy Ross. Now I ask you, Betsy Ross.
That does stink a little. Gee, I just finished a book about a girl who'd make a wonderful character at a masquerade. Somewhat different type from Betsy Ross, of course.
Oh, what book was that?
It was called Forever Amber.
Forever Amber?
Yes, it's a very absorbing book. It took me months and months to get through it, but I finally finished it.
Well, why did it take you so long?
I kept going back over it to see if I'd read right. Very educational reading. You know, Mildred, it's very educational reading for a young fellow like myself, though. Believe me, I learned plenty about the London fire.
Golly, you know, I'll bet Amber would win that cup in a walk. Dennis, I'll do it.
You mean you'll go to the masquerade as Amber?
Exactly.
Gee, you're liable to catch an awful cold.
Don't be silly. Now, what can I do with that costume? Cut out the sleeves, lower the neckline, make it slinky and tight-fitting.
I don't think Betsy Ross would like this.
Oh, gee, Dennis, I'm sure it can be done. Look, I'll go right to work on the costume. Oh, but there's some other things I'll need, and you'll have to get them for me.
Okay.
Now, let's see. I'll need a tiara for my hair, earrings, a pair of black lace step-ins, some exotic perfume.
Ooh, what you said.
Exotic perfume?
No, the one before that.
Now, look, you can get everything in the same place. There's a little shop on Elm Street called Yvette of Paris. Ask for Mademoiselle Yvette herself and tell her what you want.
You think she'll believe me?
Well, tell her that for me. She knows my size and everything. Remember, Mademoiselle Yvette. Now, hurry.
Hello.
Hello.
Could I see Mademoiselle Yvette of Paris, please?
You're talking to the mademoiselle in person already.
You're Mademoiselle Yvette?
But oui. something I could do for the monsieur yet?
Gee, you have the most peculiar accent. What part of France are you from?
France, he says. Mademoiselle Yvette is just the name on the door.
Then you're not really from Paris?
Listen, the last time I saw Paris, it was holding up mine husband's socks. Now, is there something I could do for you?
Well, yes, there is. Mildred Anderson asked me to get some things for her. A tiara for her hair, a pair of earrings, some exotic perfume.
Yeah?
And a pair of black lace. Black lace.
What's the matter? You're bashful.
Yeah.
You mean a pair of these?
Oh, put him down. Put him down.
So what's the matter? Why are you getting excited? There's nobody in them.
I know, but I got a vivid imagination. Anyway, she doesn't want that kind. She wants black lace.
Black lace, huh? Is black lace becoming already in Weaverville, de rigueur?
De rigueur?
It's a little thing I picked up from Charles Boyer. It means stylish.
Oh, I see. You pick up little things from Charles Boyer, huh?
All the time. It should happen to mine husband. Okay, anything else?
No, that's all.
All right, I'll wrap everything up together. I'll be back in 1 minute.
Gee, these pink ones are kind of cute. I wonder if... No. Still, they might. I'll ask Mademoiselle Yvette. No, it's ridiculous. I'm sure they don't make them for men.
Well, here we are. That'll be $11.50.
$11 and... Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid you'll have to charge it.
Charge it? Who to?
Why, to Mrs. Anderson, Mildred's mother. She's a customer of yours, isn't she?
Yeah. I guess it'll be all right. Here.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I wonder. Hello, Mrs. Anderson. This is Yvette of Paris. Look, Yvette of Paris. Yvette of... Rena Feinschreiber, who makes for you the corsets. Look, a young man was just here who bought for your daughter some very fancy schmancy underwear. And I was wondering. I
saw you standing in the sun, and you were something to see. I know what I like, and I like what I saw, and I said to myself...
Hello, Mrs. Anderson.
Good evening, Dennis. It may interest you to know that I just had a phone call from Mademoiselle Yvette.
Oh, really?
I have also had a little talk with my daughter Mildred.
Oh, really?
I found out she intended going to tonight's masquerade dressed as a certain brazen hussy.
Oh, really?
She is not going to the masquerade at all. I've locked her in her room.
Oh.
Dennis, if you say, oh, really again, I shall scream.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Oh, really?
I also found out that the idea of going as this Amber came from you.
Oh, no, ma'am. I just happened to mention the...
Nevertheless, Dennis, Mr. Anderson and I feel it's about time someone had a serious talk with you. Normally, of course, that's the duty of the head of the family.
Yes, ma'am.
But my husband has offered to do it instead.
Yes, ma'am.
I leave. And you two may talk this over, man to... boy... Well, whatever the two of you are, talk it over.
Good evening, Dennis.
Oh, hello, Mr. Anderson. I didn't see you sitting there. I guess your wife had you blocked off.
Been that way for 22 years. My wife is pretty excited about Mildred wanting to go to the party as Amber, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Anderson never let me read Forever Amber. She said it was no book for a man with funny ideas in his head.
Oh, have you got funny ideas in your head?
No, but she said I would have if I read it.
That's silly. I read it, and I haven't got any idea of any kind in my head.
No. This Amber, Dennis, what sort of a girl is she?
Oh, you know, companionable, good mixer, makes friends easily?
Yes. Yes, I understand she's quite friendly. Oh, well.
Yes, sir.
But we certainly don't want Mildred pretending she's such a character, even for a masquerade, do we, Dennis?
No, sir.
We want Mildred to grow up the kind of a woman that her mother is, don't we?
No, sir.
I say we want Mildred to grow up the kind of a woman her mother is, don't we?
No, sir.
You know... Oh, Dennis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Mrs. Anderson undoubtedly has many good qualities, but she does boss you around quite a bit.
Well, all women boss you around, Dennis. Some do it quietly and sweetly. Some, like my wife, do it loudly and firmly. But they all boss you around.
Golly, maybe the world would be better off if there weren't any women, just men and children.
What a beautiful thought. Well, I hope you've gotten something out of this little talk, Dennis.
Yes, sir, I have.
I know I have. I'm going to read that Forever Amber if it takes me the next 10 years. And if it's what I think it is, who cares?
Yes, sir. Well, I'll be getting back to Mademoiselle Yvette with this stuff. We won't need it now. Bye, Mr. Anderson.
Bye, Dennis.
Dennis.
Huh?
Over here.
Mildred.
Quick, climb through the window and don't let Mama see you.
What?
Hurry and hand me that box. Here. Easy. You heard what Mama said about the party, huh?
Yeah. She won't let you go.
I know. She took one look at what I did to this Betsy Ross costume and nearly fainted.
Gosh, you did make it kind of daring. Well, I guess we'll never get that $25 now.
And why not? This cup is for the most outstanding costume, isn't it? Isn't this costume outstanding?
Yes, but there's no one to wear it.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, what do you intend to... Oh. Oh, no. No, Mildred, don't look at me like that.
Oh, Dennis, don't be that way. You'll make a beautiful Amber.
But how can I be a girl? Girls are built differently than I am. I'm taller.
Notice that. I guarantee that in this dress and wig, no one will be able to tell you from Amber.
I bet I could never fool Charles the First. No, Mildred, I won't do it.
Dennis, think of Mr. Snedeker's fender. Think of the $25. Think of the housing shortage.
All I can think of is black lace. Black lace.
There's step in.
It isn't how I get in, it's how I feel after I'm there.
All right, Dennis. I guess I shouldn't have asked you. Forget it.
Mildred, I...
I thought I meant something to you. I thought you'd do it for my sake. I was wrong.
Oh, Mildred, stop. I can't stand seeing anyone cry.
You don't care if Mama throws you out of the house and we never see each other again. You don't care.
Mildred, I can't stand here and see a woman cry like that. There's only one thing I can do.
Yes?
I'm going to get out of here.
Dennis, hey. You come back here. We're going to win that cup and pay off Mr. Snedeker. Now go in the bathroom and get those clothes off.
But Mildred...
Here, take all this and put it on. And when you come out, I'll fix your makeup.
You mean I have to put all this on?
Yes.
Mildred, I read another book once about a wonderful character named Abraham Lincoln. All I need is a beard and a short pair of stilts, and I'm sure that...
Get into that bathroom.
Yes, ma'am. Gee, my mother always wanted a girl, but this is ridiculous. Well, I finally got the costume on, Mildred. How do I look?
Well, let's see. It's not too bad, except you're a little lumpy in the wrong places. Walk toward me and slink like Andrew.
I'm afraid to. This dress is too tight. One slink and I'm slunk.
Well, it is tight. Didn't you put on that girdle I gave you?
No.
Why not?
I couldn't get it over my head.
Oh, Dennis, they don't go over your head. Don't you know how to put on a girdle?
I'm afraid not. I've spent most of my life as a boy.
But what on earth makes you look so lumpy from your hips down?
Oh, that's my long underwear.
You didn't take that all?
You think I want to catch cold? There's a terrible draft through this thing.
Dennis, you didn't have to keep your flannels on. I gave you those black lace step-ins to wear.
I know, but I stepped into them wrong. They're black lace kilts now.
Well. Sit still now. I'm going to put on your makeup.
Okay.
First, a little mascara. There we are. Now, some powder.
Hey! Watch where you put that stuff.
You're supposed to keep your mouth closed.
Golly, if men were girls, we'd never bother with all this stuff.
If men were girls, we wouldn't either. Now, look, Dennis, hold still while I put on your lipstick, and we're all set. There we are.
How am I?
Why, Dennis, you're absolutely ravishing. Honestly, you're gorgeous.
Gee, really?
Just go over and take a look in that mirror.
Okay. Pardon me, miss. Would you mind stepping aside? Oh, that's me.
Of course it is. Well?
Gee, I am kind of desirable.
Oh, Dennis, I just know you're going to win that prize. Oh, now, look, we haven't much time. Here's the keys to my father's car. Slip out the window the same way you got in.
You'll have to boost me up. I don't dare bend over in this dress.
All right. Oh. Oh, I do hope you win, Dennis. There. And please, please be careful of Daddy's car.
I will, Mildred. Gee, I did look like an awfully cute girl in that mirror. Not my type, of course, but some men like them. Oh, golly, here comes the man. Here's my chance to find out how I look. I'll drop my handkerchief and see what happens.
Oh, pardon me. Did you drop this handkerchief?
Why, yes. How careless of me.
Well, here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir. You're really too, too kind.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, say, by the way.
Yes?
You got a match, buddy?
Hello, Mr. Willoughby.
Hello, Dennis. I beg your pardon, miss. When I heard your voice, I thought you were a boy who works for me.
I do. I'm Dennis.
Well, by George. I'd certainly never know you in that dress and with a mask on.
Say, who are you supposed to be, Dennis?
I'm Amber. You know, the book, Forever Amber.
Oh. I may have read it. It sort of escapes my memory.
Then you didn't read it. Say, Mr. Willoughby, when do the judges... judge the costumes. It's 10 o'clock, and I got to get out of here before I get that 5 o'clock shadow.
Huh?
Twice.
Oh. Well, the man who's judging the costumes hasn't arrived yet, and by George, I wish he'd get here. If he...
There's someone coming in the door now, Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, yes, good, that's him, and high time, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Something wrong, Dennis?
The judge of the costumes. It's Mr. Snedeker.
That's right, he's coming over here now.
Mr. Willoughby, I can't stay here. If he sees me, he'll punch me right in my mascara.
Oh, he won't recognize you in that outfit any more than I did.
But my voice...
I'll tell him you're a foreigner. Speak to him in Spanish.
I don't know a word in Spanish.
Neither does he. You're perfectly safe. Oh, Mr. Snedeker, right over here, please.
Oh, sorry to be late, Willoughby. That imbecile who works for you wrecked my car, and I had a devil of a time getting a taxi. If I ever get my hands on that young, Oh, I beg your pardon. What have we here?
Uh-oh.
Mr. Snedeker, may I present Senorita Lolita Del Rio? The senorita just got here from Chile.
Well, I'm delighted, senorita. Delighted.
Hacienda, senor.
Well, now, if you two will excuse me, I have a great many things to attend to.
Oh, no, don't leave us, Senor Willoughby.
I'm afraid I must. Adios.
But, Senor Willoughby...
Oh, let him go. Much cozier with just the two of us. Senorita.
Oh, tico, senor.
Well, so you're from Chile. You don't look very chilly to me. I'll bet you're a dream, all right, underneath that mask. How about a peek, huh?
Oh, no, senor.
Oh, come on, a teensy-weensy little peek.
No, senor, not until the price for the winning costume has been giving out.
Oh, I see what you mean, my little enchilada.
I thought you would, my great big cucamonga.
Well, speak
speaking as the official judge, I think your costume has an excellent chance.
Oh, thank you, senor.
Yes, an excellent chance. Are you married, senorita?
No.
Neither am I, you know what I mean?
See, but I doubt if anything will come of it.
I don't know. I waited a long time for the right girl to come along. Who can say I'm not looking into her eyes right now?
Me.
Huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to award the trophy for tonight's outstanding costume. That is, if our judge, Mr. Snedeker, has a winner picked out.
I sure have, eh, my little beauty?
Oh, Senor Snedeker.
Folks, your attention, please. Now, after a careful study of every costume here tonight, I take pleasure in awarding this beautiful silver cup to the little lady on my left. Oh, what was that name again, Senorita?
Dennis Day.
Senorita Dennis Day. Well, my little tamale, are you satisfied now? You can take this lovely silver cup back to... Senorita who?
Dennis Day.
You! Why, you are...
Mr. Snedeker, please! Calm down. Don't get excited.
Don't get excited? Why, I as good as proposed to you.
It's all right. I didn't accept.
Didn't accept?
No, Mr. Snedeker. If you'd like to withdraw your offer of marriage now, believe me, I'll understand.
Why? Let me at him! Let me at him!
Mr. Snedeker, please!
Let me at him!
Dennis Day returns to sing the beautiful ballad All Through the Day.
I sit alone in the golden daylight. But all I see is a silver sky. For in my fancy I sweep away life and keep my image of the sky just the way we like it, you and Yeah.
sure to be with us next week for another in the series of Dennis Day programs. More songs, more adventures in the life of our star, Dennis Day, who'll be back when you hear...
Oh, that makes life seem worthwhile. Well, then your eyes and the spell of your smile.
Dip Corning speaking, this is the Columbia Broadcasting System.